Welcome to the Indiana Kayak Anglers podcast series. In each episode, we'll bring you events, news, and interviews regarding kayak fishing in the state of Indiana. Oh yeah, here we go. This is Jason Young with Indiana Kayak Anglers, and this is the first episode of our podcast. Hopefully we'll have many more to come. Just kind of want to let you guys know what we plan to do with this. We thought it might be kind of a fun way to get some information out about what's going on with Indiana Kayak Anglers as an organization, as a tournament series. Also get some information out about kayak fishing in general in Indiana. We're going to do some interviews with different anglers on our series and maybe some movers and shakers within the industry if we can. Probably answer some questions that y'all may have as we go. Just looking to have a little bit of fun with it, looking for a new way to communicate with everybody. Thought we'd just put something together and see what happens. So let's here we go, right? Let's do it. So this first episode, I got in touch with Aiden Darlington, who's our 2017 Angler of the Year. Pulled it out the last minute, our championship event. It was very exciting, very exciting. So we did a quick little interview with Aiden. Talked about fishing and life and what he likes to do and what he doesn't like to do or whatever, and got that all recorded, and here it is. Here we go. Hey, Aiden, thanks for joining. You were our 2018 or 17 Angler of the Year last year. You pulled it out in the championship event, right?
Yep, I sure did.
If I recall correctly, while I was judging your fish from West Virginia, you caught a lot of fish in the last, what, hour and a half of the tournament?
I did, actually. I finally put a pattern together that was somewhat reproducible and went from there.
What was that pattern?
I started off just throwing a fluke around lily pads, and I caught a few smaller ones before the sun really got up high. But once that sun got up, my bite kind of died off, so I switched to throwing a tube under boat docks, and that just seemed to be what they were wanting.
Just skipping and pitching boat docks the rest of the day?
I was skipping up mostly under the walkways, like between the shore and the dock, mm-hmm. and into the shaded parts. Like, I was only fishing to 1 or 2 feet of water. It was real shallow.
Was that the only structure under the docks, or was there some vegetation and stuff too?
Some of the docks had, like, the ones that were a lot more productive for me had lily pads, like, adjacent to them. Mm-hmm. So I know the fish had moved from the lily pads onto the boat docks. So those docks seemed to be, they would restack as the day went. I would mm-hmm. hit them multiple times.
Nice. So, yeah, you had a good year last year and pretty good year the year before that. So how long have you been fishing?
I've been fishing for just about as long as I can remember. I've been doing it since I was really young, but I just recently, or I mean, not really recently, but in the last 3 years got into kayak fishing. That's when my kind of fishing career became competitive, I suppose.
Was it something that like you and your dad did together, or you just kind of did it with friends, or?
My dad kind of introduced me to it mm-hmm. at a younger age, but he's not a real avid fisherman or outdoorsman. It kind of just took a hold of me, and that just kind of became like one of my favorite things to do. And I started fishing with Nick a lot, and we shared the same passion, and that just kind of snowballed into where we are now.
So you mentioned throwing the fluke around pads and flipping a tube under docks. That worked for you on the championship event, but if you had like one technique or lure that is kind of your confidence bait, your go-to, something that on any given day you're likely to have tied on, what would that be?
I will never walk into a tournament without a Ned rig tied on. You will never see me without one in the arsenal. So that's just, that bait will always produce a fish. I mean, if it's a tough bite, you'll get them with it. It's just a lot of times those fish are small. So it's just kind of, I never really depend on it to help me do well in tournaments. I just depend on it to get me a limit. And then I switch to a different tactic that might produce a larger fish that would be viable for a tournament.
So you kind of, I think you're probably a lot like me in that effect, is that I'd like to go out and get my limit quick and then work on upgrading it. Is that kind of how you work too?
Yep, I fish a lot more calmly. I have a lot better of a tendency to not make mistakes when I've got a limit in the boat, and I'm just fish a little bit calmer. I can like kind of collect myself and have a little bit more confidence in what I'm doing.
Yeah. So using the Z-Man plastics almost exclusively on the Ned rig, or do you do any like homemade stuff like cut up Senkos or?
Every once in a while, I use primarily the Z-Man TRDs. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my favorite. Just I like the buoyancy, and it makes it sink a little bit slower, and then you know, and they last forever, which is also nice.
Yeah.
In a pinch, I cut up some Senkos, or if I don't have the certain color that I'm looking for with mm-hmm. the Z-Mans, I switch to like some other cheaper brand Senko, and I just cut them in half.
I know. I just picked up something from Tackle Warehouse the other day. Robo Worm is actually making some Ned Rig baits now. So
really?
I picked up a couple of those. I'm anxious to try those out this year.
I've used their Trick Worms in the past. I really like those.
Yeah. Yep. So if you had to choose between fishing a lake or fishing a river, which would you rather do?
I think you could probably guess on that one. I'm definitely a river fisherman. I like moving water.
River rat, huh?
I am.
You find the Ned rigs work pretty well even in the moving water?
It works great. You just got to, I mean, if as long as you know how to work and you don't let it hit the bottom and like, I mean, it's not bad to be touching bottom with it, mm-hmm. especially with the exposed hook, but like if you let it sit on the bottom, the current's going to push it under a rock or something, and then that's where you're going to run into problems. But I've had no issues throwing it on in moving water and shallow water, none at all. I mean, I actually caught my personal best smallmouth last year in October throwing a Ned rig.
In October?
Yep.
What, how big was it?
It was exactly 20 inches.
White River?
White River.
Secret spot?
Not really. It was just like north of Fall Creek, or uh-huh. not Fall Creek, not Field Drive, I think is the road, just that bridge right there. It was just in a random spot. Kind of surprised me.
Yeah. What was your favorite kayak tournament that you got to fish last year?
Last year? Ooh, that's tough. I really enjoyed the championship. I just loved how it was like, I liked the format of it. I thought that was really neat. It was something different that I'd never really been able to experience before. I also enjoyed the White River tournament, obviously, just because I consider that to be my home turf, and it's just a great fishery, and it's really enjoyable to get out there and be able to see so many different guys having a good time catching some nice fish out there. Is really awesome.
When you say you like the format of the championship event, was it the unlimited or was it the blind draw of the water and all that?
It was really both. I thought it was just exciting. You had no idea where you were going to end up being, and everybody was at a level playing field. No one had really pre-fished to the point where they knew exactly what they'd be doing. Hmm. And I also enjoyed how format where, because I know there was a guy that had fished ahead of me and had a couple of really nice fish, a couple of 18s, and if we would have had the standard format, he definitely would have taken it home. That and Nathan had a beast out there.
Yeah, he caught his early, and then I think his day slowed down pretty significantly. But you were the one that definitely put a bunch of fish on the board there at the end, and that was kind of exciting to watch from my end, being the judge of it. But what did which event do you think you were looking forward to the most this year?
I think I'll have to say the White River. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. That and Morse Reservoir, just because I live real close to both of those bodies of water, and I enjoy fishing them. Mm-hmm. Morse can get somewhat challenging, though, especially just because it's Morse. I mean, there's the running joke is that there's only five fish in the whole lake. But
who gets to them first, right?
Exactly.
So I know you fished a bunch, some of the Michigan Kayak Trail events last year. Are you going to fish some more of those this year?
I am definitely planning on making it back up there. They have an event on Gull Lake, which is by far one of the coolest lakes I've ever had the privilege of fishing. It's not like a very natural lake, but the water clarity is just absolutely absurd.
So I have a fun story about Gull Lake. So a couple years ago, is when I first started fishing for the Hobie Fishing Team, actually. Dave Mull, who you probably know, he helps run the MKT stuff. He was working with Gull Marine then at that point, and they had a tournament on Gull Lake with the Gull Lake Marine. And It was super early in the spring. Like, I think the ice had only been off the water for maybe a week or two. It was super cold. But I ended up putting a jerkbait pattern together up there and had an absolute blast. It was a multi-species event. It was two best bass, two best pike, and two best panfish. And I'm a bass fisherman. I don't really know how to catch other stuff, but I knew anything resembling shad or bait fish would probably catch pike too. And I had this one section of water. It was just this giant point. You know where the island is?
I do.
Yeah, so there's a big point that comes off just on the, I think it'd be on the south end of that island probably, that I just fished that point basically all day long. And I would go up at the base of it and just let the wind drift me off of it and just throw that jerkbait off the break the whole way down that point. And as I get to the end of that point, and I turn around and go back and just kept doing circles all day. And I have no idea how many fish I caught, but what was fun about it was that you never knew if it was a bass or a pike on the other end, because it just kept alternating all day long. It was so much fun. I used the same jerkbait all day.
You didn't get it taken by a pike? Pike took it?
Well, the water was so cold that they were almost lethargic. Like, they would fight, the pike would fight for 2 or 3 seconds, and then they were just dead weight. It was so cold. So, no, I didn't have any problems with that either. But it was that was probably one of the most fun days on the water I've ever had. It was a lot of fun that day.
A lot of those northern bodies of water in Michigan and even in northern Indiana, I think those are just amazing to fish. A lot of times they're not quite as pressured as they are here in central Indiana.
Mostly because there's so many of them, right? So you've got more fishermen, but you have more water. So I grew up in northeast Indiana. I grew up by Angola. And so that was always, that's always kind of the joke. When my dad and I would wake up in the morning to go fishing, it was hard to decide which of the 60 lakes we wanted to go fish that's a half hour from home. But definitely don't have that down here. I live in Muncie now, and there's not much choice anymore. But
I mean, here in Noblesville, I've got the river, Geist, or Morse. That's pretty much it if I want to keep it close.
You don't count Eagle Creek?
Yeah, I mean, I mean it's there, but it's also almost not worth going to, in my opinion.
Right.
Kind of a tough fishery.
It's unfortunate too, because that lake sets up so well for kayak tournaments. I mean, that's just a beautiful location for a kayak tournament, but it's so tough. So tough. Are you going to fish anything else this year besides ICA events and MKT events? Are you thinking about heading down to, like, Kentucky Lake for the Hobie Bass Open or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm hoping to make it down for the Hobie Bass Open for sure. I kind of opted out of going down there for the national championship. It just seemed like, you know, in all honesty, kind of a mess. But that's just my personal opinion on that. But I would like to – I'm going to try to fish the SIAC events. If they've got any in-person events, I'll probably try to get into some of those. That their group seems to be growing pretty well down south.
Yeah, they've been Brad seems to be doing a good job with that, and they've definitely got a very active Facebook community, which is fun to watch. Definitely. I haven't done any of their events.
I did their online events in March of last year, I think. Yeah. That was about it.
Yeah. I've been kind of thinking about trying some of the Ohio ones too. I've been hearing good things about that Buckeye Kayak Trail, I believe it's called.
I have heard good things about that as well. I follow their Facebook page, and it seems to be a pretty well-run group of guys, and it seems like they actually have a few tournaments that aren't super far away, so right. I might, if the schedule permits, I might try to get over there and check one out.
So you're on the Wildcat Creek Outfitters team, right?
I am, yes.
So are you part of their fishing team, or are you with Jackson Kayak, or neither or both? How's that work?
I fish exclusively out of Jackson Kayaks, but I am not currently fishing for them. I fish for Wildcat, so I'm kind of like, I'm just promoting a general company.
Yeah, I got to talk to you quite a bit this year at the boat show when you were down there. I think you said, aren't you leaving for Florida soon?
Yeah, Nick, James, Jackson, and I are all heading down to fish Mosquito Lagoon for spring break coming this the end of this March. So,
dude, that's exciting. I'm super jealous.
That'll be my first time ever taking the kayak into salt water. I'm excited for that.
Never know what's going to happen, right?
That's true. Just don't fall in.
It'll be a good time. That whole area is gorgeous down there. Beautiful, beautiful area. I've never fished down there, but I've seen a lot of pictures and a lot of video from that. How long are you guys staying down there?
I think we're staying for 5 days, and actually we were talking about hitting one of the KBF events on the way back.
Oh.
I don't remember which body of water it's on precisely, but...
That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be. I have never fished a just like a regular season KBF event, because they don't seem to schedule very many around Indiana.
Was it probably on one of the big lakes in Alabama?
I believe it's either in Kentucky or Tennessee. I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Quite which one it was, but I know it's just in that general area.
Well, if you ever want to fish down in Kentucky some, I highly recommend any of the events on the Bluegrass kayak series. They used to be called Bluegrass Yak Masters. They've changed their name to like Bluegrass Kayak Anglers, maybe. I think that's it, yeah. Those guys have been doing it a while and put on an amazing event, and there are some absolutely gorgeous lakes down there. Some Kentucky DNR does a really good job of managing some of those lakes, and they're just some beautiful, beautiful lakes. Is there we talked about how Ned Rig was kind of your go-to. What's one technique you'd like to work on more this year? Maybe improve on it or try something new, even altogether.
And well, I am a very finesse-oriented fisherman. Like, I prefer to have a spinning rod in my hand over a casting rod 9 times out of 10. So I need to work on my, playing a fish if it's got treble hooks in it. I need to work on that. That's kind of been a struggle for me, especially on some of the events where we had, like, a square bill bite, for example, on Morse. I lost a couple of decent fish just because I kind of didn't really know what I was doing with treble hooks.
Just kind of horsing them in instead of...
Yeah, I'm used to not having to deal with that many hooks on a single bait.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm used to just having the one on like a worm or a Ned Rig or tube or whatever I'd be throwing.
Talking about the square bill bite like that, do you use a technique-specific rod for crankbaits? Have you tried that?
I do. I have. When I won the Morse tournament, I was throwing it on like a buzzbait rod with 30-pound braid on a square bill. So that nice. Was, yeah, that's probably why I had like zero stretch and it was a mess. Somehow figured it out. But yeah, since then I've expanded the arsenal. I picked up a crankbait rod and I've got the right setup and everything.
Nice.
Just got to work with it a little bit more.
I throw a lot of crankbaits, and that was one thing that helped a lot was getting something that was designed specifically for that. It just has enough give and enough flex to not yank hooks out.
Yeah.
So that's definitely been good. So you're, we talked about the Wildcat Creek Outfitter thing, but are you on any other pro staffs or have any other sponsors or anything?
I have a few that they're kind of pending. I'm not really sure where I'm going to end up going with them this year. I'm still kind of working on figuring all that out. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out if I want to continue with these certain guys or if I want to drop them off.
Right on. Have you had any bad experiences with that in the past?
I have had one bad experience. I don't know if you want me to name the specific company, but
that's up to you. I don't care one way or the other.
I mean, I don't think anybody I know even fishes these. It was basically at the last year is when I really started trying to promote myself and kind of build my own brand to begin, you know, representing companies and whatnot.
Right.
And so I was kind of gung-ho about just jumping on any pro staff or whatever. I just wanted to be, you know, up there with those guys that, you know, you kind of look up to them. They've all got their sponsors. You want to be cool like them. So I just kind of jumped into it without really taking the time to research or pretty much anything. I was going in completely blind, but I jumped on with a company called Ardent Reels. I don't know if you remember me
mm-hmm.
Posting about that. I was kind of all, like I said, I was really excited about it, but as I quickly found out, you investing myself into a company that I know nothing about is definitely not a good idea. Their product was unfortunately didn't really meet my standards of like quality.
Right.
That, and unfortunately, I couldn't represent a company that I didn't personally believe in. And I guess I think that was a really beneficial lesson to me moving forward. It kind of just taught me not to just jump into whatever with any company. I think it's actually helped out just having an unfortunate experience, but it'll, like I said, it helps me to know kind of like if I'm looking at another pro staff deal or if I am thinking about becoming an ambassador or whatever for some company, just to definitely think it through and make sure I have a lot of faith in their product before I just start representing them. Because that also reflects back on me. If I'm promoting a product that's total garbage, you know, people might think of me a little bit low or less than they would have before, because I don't want to be selling people something that doesn't work.
You nailed it. And the good thing is that you learned from it and didn't have too bad of an impact on you. But as much as these companies want anglers to represent them, you're right. They also represent you as an angler, right? So not necessarily representation, but they have an impact on your interaction with the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially in the kayak fishing community, I think we still have, I'd still call us tight knit. I've seen it change over the years, right? As it's growing.
Yeah.
It's getting a little, you know, the knitting gets a little looser, if you will. But I think overall the kayak fishing community still, everybody works really well together. And therefore I think anytime you have to represent a product, they're also reflected in you. So you're still in high school, right?
I am. I'm currently in my last semester as a senior at Noblesville High School.
And you're headed to Purdue in the fall?
I'm going to Purdue.
And let's see if I can remember your aquatics biology?
Yeah, aquatic ecology and fisheries management.
Say that's it's probably a pretty good occupation for a fisherman.
Yeah, I mean, fishing has kind of like become something that really means a lot to me, and I just kind of want to, you know, I basically everything I've been able to see and I've been able to do through my fishing career has really given me a great appreciation for our watersheds and our natural resources that we have here in Indiana or anywhere in the country, really. And I just feel like I would like to work in a field that helps to preserve that so that other people can enjoy it in the future.
So it sounds like fishing has kind of shaped what you think you would like to do as an occupation. Are there any other experiences that fishing has afforded you that you may not have been able to do otherwise?
Well, I mean, fishing is like kind of, it's something that you do a lot of traveling with, especially if you're a tournament angler, you go all over the place. And I've been able to see a lot of really amazing places here, just here in Indiana, honestly, places I never knew or never would have known existed. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't get to see all that kind of stuff in their lifetime. And it's really an awesome experience to go around and just see all these different things that, aren't really very prominent in, but we have here in our state, and it's just really great to know that you're getting out and enjoying everything your state has to offer.
That's a fantastic answer. I like that. What's the one? Is there one place that you've been in Indiana to go kayak fishing or have seen while you're on your way to kayak fishing that really caught you off guard? Is there like that one place, that one moment that really stands out to you?
Ooh, that's kind of tough, actually. There's a lot of places here in Indiana that I really enjoy fishing, but honestly, I think I'd have to go with the river, White River, here in Noblesville. It's just like, I mean, if you're driving by it, in most places where there's bridges and whatnot, you can kind of see it, and it's industrialized. There's not really a whole lot of natural, like, tree. You don't have a whole lot of trees, and there's not much wildlife near the bridges or where it goes through the town, but if you float down and you go past where all the buildings and everything are, it really, it's just, it's completely different. It's absolutely amazing the amount of wildlife that's out there. I mean, you'll see minks and bald eagles and all kinds of just crazy things. And it's just weird to think that you're only like 5 miles away from your house. But
I think along with that, I think of all the people that drive through those towns and drive on those bridges every single day, and how many of those people have absolutely no idea what they're missing by not floating that river.
Exactly. It's crazy to think that people are driving by a bridge and 300 yards downriver, there's a amazing fishing spot, or there's like a whole bunch of bald eagles down there just doing whatever.
Yeah, I think you could probably take a lot of pictures on your float trips on the White River and show them to people that live in Noblesville or live in Fishers or live in Indianapolis, and they would never, ever guess that was, you know, 2 miles from their home.
Exactly. A lot of times when I'm fishing on the river, I'm not even really looking at the water. I'm just kind of staring up at the trees, looking at all the birds making their sounds, and the occasionally getting the bejeebies scared out of me by a giant heron.
Yeah.
They're pretty crazy.
Yeah, they make a little bit of noise when they take off.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a smidge. Well, man, it's been awesome talking to you. Thanks for giving us some insight into the life of Aiden, and probably some people taking some pointers away from this. Maybe we'll see more Ned rigs at the Ike events this year.
Hopefully. It's a great technique. I would definitely recommend it to pretty much anybody.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, we're going to hop off of here. Thanks again for your time, and we will see you soon at West Boggs, right?
Sure will. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
We'll see ya.
So that was Aiden Darlington, and those of you that have fished with us for the last few years understand how strong of a fisherman he is, and he proves it year after year, being up there in the Angler of the Year standings, winning last year, and as you probably heard, he is very knowledgeable about fishing. So I think we're going to see some big things from Aiden this year, and our series, and every other place he fishes, and I imagine we're going to see a lot out of him for years to come. So thanks again, Aiden, for joining us for that, and it worked out really well. So just a few more announcements about Indiana Kayak Anglers, and then we'll wrap it up. The West Boggs event is now up on Tourney X, so if you haven't registered for it, you can. That'll be our season opener this year, heading down south, actually. So excited to get that one underway. Also, we guess we can officially announce that our entire series this year is being presented by Sun Valley Sports and Hobie Fishing. Between the two of them, they were have been kind enough and gracious enough to donate that Hobie Compass that we raffled off, and then all of those proceeds are covering our expenses for this year, and then some. So we'll have some extra prize money to give out at the end of the year. We'll have all those details wrapped up soon. But real excited to have Sun Valley on board again, and officially having Hobie Fishing on board. So that'll be great, and it keeps everything basically free for you guys. So when you guys pay your entry fees, all that money goes right back out to you. And so we're excited to keep that going again this year. So that's going to be it for this episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We're going to put together a few really cool things for the next few episodes, and then see how it goes from there. Let this thing kind of grow and change as it needs to, and based on your guys' feedback. So let us know what you think. Subscribe, share it with all your friends, and we'll see you on the water soon.